Today's sermon is called A Big Fish Story. My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. O God of our hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, God of our dreams and hopes and possibilities for justice, peace, compassion, and mercy, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. On summer weekends when I was growing up, we often went camping in the mountains of Colorado. My father would load up the station wagon. We had a small pop-up trailer, and if the campgrounds were full, my dad would often pull into an impossibly dense grove of trees and somehow find enough headroom there for the trailer to pop up to its full height of about 8 feet. We didn't go camping for the scenery, though. We went there to fish. And I could tell you that I once caught a fish this big. I could tell you about the really big one that got away, or the trout that would put the old man in the sea to shame. But our Bible tells a different kind of big fish story, where our carpenter, Jesus, commandeers a boat, preaches a sermon, and then proceeds to tell the fishermen where the fish are. The nets are full. They quit their jobs, and they follow Jesus. This fishing story isn't about boasting big fish, is it? No, it's about what kind of bait or lures catch the best ones. The reason why this story matters, if it teaches us why some folks don't catch fish. Most folks know the big schools of fish are in the deep water, right? And when you go fishing, what do? You go to where the fish are. But this story isn't about filling the nets with fish, is it? Jesus is teaching spiritual principles. Like most things biblical, we're talking metaphor here, right? What are metaphors? We say that something's like something else to kind of teach a point, right? So we substitute fish for an abundance of mercy, justice, wisdom, peace, healing, and compassion. We want all these things in abundance. Some of us just won't catch these things because we don't go deep. So now, here we go. The deep water is where the fish congregate in numbers unimaginable. Deep water takes faith. Deep water is where the abundance begins. Deep water, it's a risk because as much as we could get a lot of catch, we could also lose everything if we're not focusing our mind and heart on the task at hand. If we don't do it patiently, softly, gently, and slowly, we could lose everything. Fishing is hard. And if you notice, when you come up on a deep pool of water, the water darkens considerably, doesn't it? Because in the deep, we have to trust the words and promises of others who have also gone and fished there. And we have to listen to their experience there. The ones who have done it, they can help us get through the deep water, right? And what it is. It's how fishing has been taught through the generations, isn't it? Jesus has always invited people to fish the deep end of things, because in the deep, we can't see the bottom. In the deep, we can't see the bottom like we can in friendly little brooks and streams near the shore, under the dock, where the little fish swim. The shallows are nice, aren't they? Yeah, the water only comes up to our knees, and we can wade out there a little bit, and there's little fish that come and nip on your toes, and it's cooling on a summer day on your feet. And it's good for the soul to stay in the shallow water. But shallow water doesn't take a lot of courage or risk, does it? You can catch a million little minnows in the shallow water, but they won't feed you, much less feed your family. Simon knew that the shallow water no longer yielded a catch that could sustain his life, for they'd caught nothing all night. And remember, these are professional fishermen. What we say we want, what we say we want, it's not in the shallows, it's in the deep. The shallows, however, is where we begin the adventure. We learn about the Bible in church, and we open our eyes and understand how much of the world needs giving and service, right? We begin to see that much of the world is steeped in biblical references, sacrifice, redemption, persecution, justice, salvation. We see that the deep water may be where we have to go to find more, to figure out not just the signs and these little nibbles of faith, but to find out what God has for us in this life, right here, right now, in the deep water. Some of us won't catch fish because, well, we don't expect to catch fish. Jesus tells Simon, let's go to the deep water and prepare for a catch. But why do we resist that? What is keeping us and our faith from trying to go to the deep water and prepare for a catch? Do we think God's blessing is going to be delivered on the portico right here as we go out today? Because we showed up at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning at church here out of habit? God wants more than that when he invites us to the other side of the boat. Expectation is a child of faith. The substance of things hoped for, says the Bible. When we believe in God, what are we really doing? We're not saying that we have some abstract idea of a man in the sky. What we're saying when we say we believe in God is that we expect the things that God has promised for us. We're saying that we're partners in every good gift that God gives, fruitfulness of the vine and fish that come, because God continually shows us the deep water. Jesus keeps pushing Simon, the one who doesn't fully trust and believe. Leave the shore, Simon. Go deeper. What Jesus was saying is, expect a blessing, Simon. Jesus is calling Simon to risk being disappointed in God. And rather than meet his own meager expectations of small fish that will only meet his needs once in a while, Jesus bids us to go where so much more is possible. And some folks, you know, they won't catch fish because they know more about fish than God. We fall into this trap, right? We all do. It's not that we actually think we know it all. We just behave that way. We hear God's instructions. Forgive always. Bless those who curse you. Give abundantly and freely. Mercy to the underprivileged, the brokenhearted, the poor, the migrant, the prisoner. Mercy to the ones that the kings and princes in power oppress for no reason. Love your neighbor Oh, and by the way, remember the Sabbath, right? That's in there too. But we ignore God's invitations to deep abundance. We say to God by our actions that we know more about marriage, healing, forgiveness, children, money, and relationships than you do, God. And Simon forgot this. Simon forgot that God is God. And he was able to overcome all that hubris and learn again that humility is the ultimate teacher. If we're ready to listen, if we're ready to cast our nets over the other side of the boat, I want to leave you with these final thoughts. You might think that the net full of fish is the miracle here. But maybe, just maybe, the miracle is letting go. It's Simon deciding that God is God and that he would begin living that way immediately. It's Simon saying, "My frustration is real, Lord. My pain is real. My emptiness is real. My despair is real, Lord. You are God. I am not." And only at that point is when God says, "Okay, now I got your attention. Can you hear yourself in those statements? My frustration is real, Lord. My pain is real. My emptiness is real." Some folks still won't catch fish because they don't expect to. And some folks won't catch fish because they can't go deep for fear of. Well, there's always a reason to say no, isn't there? The most common phrase Jesus says in the Bible is what? "Be not afraid, fear not." And yet we can't go there. Not everyone who comes to church is ready to go deep. That's okay. The shallows are needed to get us used to being in the water at all. But very many of us, over time, there'll come a time when you will go deep, and it just might be okay to trust friends and neighbors you've known all your life to jump in with them. Thanks be to God. Amen.